is Radio Free Asgard.
And indeed, this is Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 113 of the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois. Welcome along to the show. Big thank you and shout out once again to our good friend Manuel Carmona, who mentioned us again on his blog last week. And the reason, of course, was the commentary that I made last episode about strong female role models in comics. Manuel and I think we disagree on a couple of the points that I made. But that's cool because, you know, Manuel is entitled to his opinion and we all respect each other. And I think that there's lots of room in the comics community for disagreement on things like that. For me, I just kind of think of it as a rabbit hole I don't want to go down too deeply. It is so fraught with peril to go deeply into these issues, and that's not what this show is about. When I was doing my other podcasts regularly, that's more the kind of thing I would do on that show. So that's not really what we're all about here at Radio Free Asgard, where we just talk about Thor and Hercules and other mythological heroes in the comics. If you're a first-time listener, and why would you be, then welcome. We're always happy to have new listeners. You can contact the show if you like. If you have any commentary, questions, etc., you can email the show. Our email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And you can also join us on our Facebook group over on MySpace. No, of course, it's on Facebook. It's our Facebook group. Anyway, just look for Radio Free Asgard over on Facebook, and you will find us. All right. Don't have a whole lot to talk about. I do want to just say a few words here. We went to go see, my other half and I went to go see Pacific Rim the other night. And despite the fact that the title sounds like a gay Asian porno, if you go into that movie expecting it to be loud and exciting with giant robots and giant monsters and lots of action, you will love that movie. If you're looking for a deep philosophical experience, you're probably not going to like that movie too much. We enjoyed the hell out of it because I think we went into there, I think we went in with not a lot of preconceptions. And I think both of us came away thinking that it was a better movie than we expected. But certainly was an experience. And so go see Pacific Rim if you're interested in giant monsters fighting giant robots. It's kind of cool, actually. All right. So without further ado, we do have a Thor issue to cover. So let's move on to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
So this week we cover the penultimate chapter of the Dark Gods Saga in Thor Volume 2, Number 11. This book was released in May of 1999, retailed for $1.99. Cover was painted by Lee Weeks and shows Jake Olsen kind of kneeling on the ground in front of the broken hammer going, look, he looks angry at it. It's like he's shouting at it. Behind him is none other than the evil Paracus raising his staff slash scythe up high. Looks like he's about to slash Jake in two. We open up to the splash page, and we have, basically, it's a recap of what's been going on in the last couple issues. It's just showing Paracus, and he's yelling, and they got a little bit of exposition here. For man and god alike, moments of gravity often trigger wildly different reactions in those involved. In this case, the triumph of one, meaning Paracus, ignites a proud father's sense of horror, being Odin. A friend's denial, being Baldur, who's kind of bashed up here. And a lover's fear, being Sif. Another basks in the joy of revenge finally achieved. And they show the Magistan Zelia looking all gleeful and smug and so forth. Such is the taste of victory among those who reign supreme. Their final opponent has fallen, succumbing to their might, scrambling for safety in a cowardly fashion. Not only was the God of Thunder defeated, He was humiliated as well. All that remains is death. And they show the various dark gods, and you can't really tell if they're happy or not, but we see the dark shadowy woman, whose name I don't remember. We see Tockets floating in the air, flapping. We see Advil, the one who opens the dimensional portals and shit. And then we cut to Jake Olsen having crawled down into the storm drain and kind of crawling through this muck and ooze. And then we shift back to the scene where Perikis is gloating about his victory, and Mjolnir is laying on the ground in front of him, broken in a couple of pieces. And it's like the breaking of Mjolnir is like set loose its power, and there's lightning cascading all over the place. Nice job here by Johnny Romita Jr. of the lightning cascading around. I know I said a lot about his mastery of Kirby Crackle last time, but this looks pretty cool too. Stan Lee presents The Mighty Thor in The Dark Wars, part 2 of 3. Dan Jurgens was the writer. John Romita Jr. and Klaus Janson were the artists. Gregory Wright did the colors. Richard Starkings of Comicraft did the letters. Tom Brevoort was the editor, and Bob Harris was the editor-in-chief. And Perikis is screaming, "Thor, come to me, you spineless, gutless coward! Come and die the proud death of a warrior born! The desire of Magistan Celia is not to be denied!" And Celia's like, "He hides in the drainage conduit, Perikis. If you want him, it seems you must drag him out." And we see Odin in the background on his giant bondage machine thingy, and again, we have Baldur and Sif kind of bound in front. I don't remember them being tied up and shackled before, but they are now. So, anyway, something has changed. Perikis is trying to lift the hammer, and he can't, of course, because of Odin's enchantment, of course. He says, "Just as I destroyed the Thunder God's weapon, now shall I use it to shatter his skull." And he tries to lift it, and he can't. He says, "Too heavy to lift, as though it was bonded to the ground." And Baldur is kind of gloating here in his half-dead way. So, "Such is the will of Odin, that only one pure of heart and courageous as Thor might ever wield Mjolnir." And Perik is like, "Courageous? Courage does not flee." And he blasts a purple energy blast against the wall, and it goes, "Kathoom!" I guess he's blasted the wall near where this this drainage thing is. It's like, "Tears of the dead! He's gone! Where? Those drainage pipes are too small for one so large." That he doesn't realize that Thor has changed back into Jake Olsen. And Tockets volunteers to go find him and says, "Seek him out? Indeed I will. Then shall Tockets claim the kill." And Zilly is like, "Quiet, you miscreant. His life is Perikis's to take, and Perikis's alone." And we shift to where Jake Olsen is crawling through the sewers, and they are gross. And there's like this green, brown gook just kind of glooping all over the place, and these little creatures going chick, 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 chick. They're not rats. I'm not really sure what they are. They just kind of look like little toothy things that, I don't know. There's some kind of vermin. Anyway, and Jake Olsen is thinking to himself, "Verily do I abhor the notion of fleeing, but to battle Perikis after reverting to the form of mortal man would have been lethal. Methinks 'tis fortunate they did not see me change. Mayhap 'tis a condition of my new existence, that even on Asgard, when mighty Mjolnir doth leave my grasp for 60 seconds, the body of Thor shall give way to that of Jake Olsen." Yeah, we'll give a little exposition, obviously. "Ah, yon opening is at hand. Now I must," and he opens up into this big, kind of wider area, but it's just as gross and nasty as the other part of the sewer. It's just bigger, and apparently smells really horrible. It's like, he says out loud, "Oh, mama." "Oh, mama." Sounds like Jake Olsen is channeling Luke Cage here. Maybe he'll say "Sweet Christmas" next.
"Stench in these sewers is so strong, I'm about ready to lose it. Might have been better to go mano a mano with Perikis after all."
He's tries to change back into Thor by banging his fist on the ground, since that worked before.
"This place reeks of evil. For Asgard to have become this is an affront to the universe. One Thor shall correct just as soon as I change back."
And he tries to change back, and nothing happens.
Just, "Nothing's happening. The hammer. I gotta get it back. Or..."
And he's interrupted by these sort of Stay Puft Marshmallow Man warrior dudes. and they have what looks like blue foam rubber Mjolnirs. That's what that looks like. And they're like, well, well, what have we here?
Sad specimen. Puniest Asgardian I've ever seen.
And Jake is like, zounds.
It's a slave pits for you, Tiny. No, you can't do this to me. This mallet says I can.
Wonk. And they knock him over the head, knock out Jake Olsen. And they go dragging him away.
Slowtoth wanted us to find more workers, and now we got one.
Won't be happy, though. This weakling won't last through the day.
Plenty more on Midgard.
And we shift back to the throne room where the Dark Gods are complaining.
None have seen the Thunder God, Majestan Zelial.
Impossible. He couldn't have vanished.
Indeed, my senses stretch across the Continuum Gateway. He never left Asgard.
Then the task of finding the enemy is mine. Let my infinity vision stretch out across all Asgard in search of the Odin Sun. No corner of shadow, no door of chamber is impervious to my sight. And yet, there is nothing. Thor is no longer on Asgard.
And Perichus is blaming Odin for this. He's like, it's a trick, and you'll tell me how, old man.
I know it not, bestial one. Thor's whereabouts are a mystery to Odin as well.
Foul liar!
The ways of deception are my domain, Perichus. Odin speaks the truth.
Free me to find him, yes you must, so I can grind his bones to dust.
And even the shadowy person with no name hates Octakus. it's like the Charlie Brown of the Dark Gods.
Away with you, vermin! You sicken me! Thor is here somewhere, and we'll have his hide soon enough.
And we shift back into what they call the bowels of Asgard. And you know it's the bowels because it's full of shit. And there's like the goop and brown gluck kind of falling down everywhere. And there's kind of frothy. And it looks like he's got the, like slaves shoveling the shit. I mean, I don't know where they're shoveling it to or from. It looks like they're taking the raw sewage and shoveling it into green fire. So, I don't know. Flames of the Faultine, I guess? I don't know. It's a joke there for you Doctor Strange fans. But, so these Gumby guard things are going to say,
another one dead. Shovel him into the pit.
And the the caption says, this is perhaps the most sickening and revolting place in all the universe. I don't know about that. Have they been to any of Alex Jones's websites, like Prison Planet and that sort of thing? So we have the worker people is like,
we need more workers.
Get the new meat. Send him to the pile.
Soon, Slothoth must approve him first.
Then tell him to hurry, says Jake Olsen. I'm impatient.
You'll wish otherwise soon enough, Asgardian. Here he comes now.
Creature is approaching Jake Olsen and says,
Heimdall's eyes.
And it's this big shadow being, sort of like a big sludge monster. It's kind of tree-like and kind of across a tree and spider webs. And actually, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me a lot of the dark force that that Gore the God Butcher has. That's kind of what it looks like. It's like one of those shadow creatures that Gore uses. And Jake is like,
what manner of creature are you?
It's like,
muck, slime, excrement, filth, sludge, all of it, all that's discarded, that's me.
This cannot be Asgard.
Another one. Too good to acknowledge the discarded. Live in it, drink of it, work in it.
And he kind of grabs out his shadow force and he throws Jake Olsen into a big puddle of poop. And he's like,
become it.
Lands with an op. And Jake is trying to be tough here.
I slave for no one, especially not for living foulness such as you.
And the guards don't like that. It's like, show him.
Break him.
Train him.
He's stopped by the sludge guy. He's like,
he's of Midgard. More like him. Millions.
He's the first.
And Jake's like, an entire planet waiting to be enslaved? Verily, I must stop this evil. But to do that, I must survive. And to survive, I must work.
So Jake decides he's going to work on shoveling all the sewage and all this crap with everyone else. And the caption says, grim hours crawl by, one after another. Though the shell of man wanted to quit as others died around him, a god's spirit propels it ever onward. And you hear a voice, I see thee nay. And Thor's like, that voice, so familiar. And the guards are swarming around this Asgardian, and he's like,
remove thy defiled hands from me, lest ye wish to provoke battle against the Lion of Asgard.
And they're like, not today, Skinny. Give Red a shovel and put him to work. And we catch a glimpse of who this is, and it is, of course, Volstagg. And yes, they did call him Skinny because he's really, really, really skinny. This kind of reminds me a little bit of that scene in Thor God of Thunder where we meet Volstagg as a slave. Here, at least, they let him keep his helmet. So you can tell it's Volstagg because he's wearing Volstagg's hat. Otherwise, you would not really have no idea other than the guy. He's got a big beard and mustache, and he's not fat. He's skinny. But he's wearing Volstagg's helmet, and that's the only way we can really tell it's him.
Work? Nay, for thou art dealing with a warrior, one whose very name causes unbridled fear in his enemies. Be thou mindful thou art dealing with Volstagg.
And Jake is like,
Volstagg? Voluminous Volstagg?
Volstagg the Valiant, Volstagg the Vengeful. 'Twould seem my legend stretches even to far off Midgard.
Well, it should. I mean, they spent a lot of time on Earth, didn't they? Volstagg gets pounded on the back of the head with a club by one of the guards. Like,
Volstagg the Vanquished.
And Jake is getting all pissed off now. He's like,
enough! I have had enough!
And he picks up the shovel and he bashes the guard in the face with it with a chunk. And apparently hits him hard enough to knock him down. And it looks like the guard is broken into a bunch of little pieces. And he's like, what? You see suddenly emerging on the scene, Tockets, and looking pretty angry here. And Tockets is saying,
multiply myself I've done to hunt and find the Odin son. A mortal mask you now do wear, but your true self I've now laid bare.
And he grabs Olsen and flies into the air. Jake is like, no. And Volstagg hears that and he's like,
Odin's son? By the feast of the eternal summer, Thor?
And we shift scenes back to the throne room, and we have Odin here in his bondage gear, and all the other dark gods, and we have Baldur and Sif, and yeah, the scene is pretty much as we left it. Baldur is speaking here.
My liege, I beseech thee to explain. What passing event did sweep away thy son?
Would that I did know, good Baldur, for my troubled heart would be at ease.
'Tis upon us to hope he hath found safety, says Sif.
Agonize not, Paracus. Thor will be found soon enough, says Magistan Zelia.
My patience is stretched beyond reason, mother. He must be crushed. The history will recognize me as his master.
And sitting next to Paracus here is still Mjolnir, and still throwing off lightning every which way, which it's nice that they've just kind of kept it there, sparking and lightninging and stuff. And we then have a thump as Jake Olsen is thrown down in front of Paracus. And Tuggets is saying,
then wait you will forevermore, for I'm the one who captured Thor.
Paracus doesn't believe him. He's like,
have you lost all sense of reason, Tuggets? This waif, this twig of a mortal, is not the god of thunder.
Your hate blinds you to the fact his mortal guise is but an act.
Paracus is like, true, you'll still play no part in this. And he blasts Tockets with a choom, sends the Tockets flying, then throws Jake Olsen aside. He says,
if you are indeed the mighty Thor, reveal yourself, and smashes him aside with a bram.
And with a crack, he lands on the floor, and it looks like he's just about unconscious here. And he's hurt, obviously. And Olsen's like,
I'll fight anyway. As honor demands, I must.
And Paracus is like, no! I want the battle of all battles! An epic war that will be admired and trumpeted throughout the ages!
A victory that will become legend throughout the realms of God and man alike.
And he's kind of swooping at Olsen and just throwing him around a little bit. Not honestly trying to destroy him or anything. But Olsen's resisting, and he's like,
"Though hell is eternal embrace, will doubtless be my fate. I'll fight thee to the last breath I draw, for such is the way of a warrior born."
"Such is the way of a fool," says Pericus,
and he kind of hammers down his staff with a crack, and kind of shoots his purple energy out and throws Jake aside. And Celia is really enjoying this. She's really getting off in the fight, and it's like,
"Now, Pericus, quench the bloodthirst that has consumed you all these years."
"For centuries I have longed for this, the moment I would extinguish Thor's life."
And he picks up Jake Olsen in one hand, and he's squeezing him, and Jake's like, "Argh!" And there's like lightning and energy just kind of flying off, like he's Mjolnir, basically. But anyway, he throws down Olsen again to the floor, but in this case he throws him down the ground right next to the hammer. He's like,
"Well, you are not he. You are a shadow of the one I want. A walking cadaver whose death would not bring glory, but hollow, empty, shameful victory."
And Thor, he lands on top of Mjolnir, basically, and he grabs onto it, and he begins to transform. And it looks like he puts Mjolnir together by hand. It's like he picks up the pieces and kind of sticks them together by hand. And he's like,
"Mjolnir, though cut in twain, thy mystic force bleeding unchecked, still art thou infused with the power of Odin and Asgard, to respond to the touch of thy one true master. Cast aside your mortal guise, that son of Odin, son of Asgard, Thor, the god of thunder, might stand again."
And it seems like the hammer's healed. That's kind of weird, but yeah, seems like the hammer's healed. And Thor is emerging to fight Pericus, and the audience, I guess, you remember the bleachers from last time, all these people up in the bleachers, they're all shouting, "Pericus, Pericus, Pericus, Pericus." And Pericus is like, "Finally, to the death, godling." And Thor starts whirling Mjolnir around. He's like,
"Nay, 'tis not the battle which doth consume my fire, but the war. By the power of my Uru mallet do I bridge space and time, that I might face thee another time."
And he summons the Ajax White Tornado and is gone. And Pericus is really pissed. He's like,
"Trembling coward!
To see him flee twice in a day is almost better than seeing him perish."
And Odin can't believe it. He's like,
"Ne'er didst I imagine such a sight."
"By the thousand threats of Ragnarok," says Baldur, "'tis true."
And Sif's like, "Thor's cowardice hath shamed us all." And we shift scenes to some sort of a planetoid, kind of out in the middle of nowhere. And we hear somebody talking. It says,
"Let me get this straight. You need help. So you're asking me to be your partner?"
And we see that Thor is here talking to somebody. He's like,
"Aye, in exchange, thou shalt be free of thine imprisonment. Thou mayest return to Midgard. Me, Tonto, to your Lone Ranger. Bucky, to your Captain America. Not a chance."
And we see who he's talking to the first time, and it's the Destroyer. And he's sitting on this big old stone chair. There's lightning shooting off all around him. And we have next issue's blurb. Next, a double size spectacular showdown in a senses-shattering conclusion. And that is Thor number 11 from May of 1999, also known as Thor number 513 for you sticklers for continuity at home. And I have a few things to say about this issue. Is it just me, or is this not the most original story in the world? It really isn't. There's a lot of cliche going on here, and I think this is stuff we've all seen before. As much as I like Dan Jurgens, this isn't the best story. And I still think that they really haven't ramped the stakes up high enough. I really don't see the tension building. We have a little bit of it this time around. We do have the sort of big battle between Pericus and Thor, but Thor's been defeated and he has to run away and he's running off to get help. That's a little bit interesting. I mean, that's something a little bit different from anything we've seen before. You would think, though, that Odin and Baldur and Sif and the others, they wouldn't be aghast by the fact that Thor's running away, because they would realize that this isn't Thor giving up. This is a strategic withdrawal. This is a retreat to a regroup, and then he's going to come back more powerful than ever before. The fact that there's some time issues with this story is a little bit bothersome, where we have Jake Olsen kind of slaving in the slave pits. Is it just me also, or the slave pits? That sounds like something you'd find in the fourth world, something you'd find in Apocalypse. And in some way, these dark gods are almost reminiscent of these Jack Kirby creations from the fourth world. I mean, we have this sort of Magistan Zelia, could be a Granny Goodness character. We would have Pericus, would be Kalibak. He's not really right for Darkseid, but you know, it just seems to me that maybe there's a little bit of, cross-pollination going on there. I really do like how Jake Olsen is channeling Luke Cage in a couple of the panels. I don't think that they really intended that, but that's how it seemed to me anyway. Skinny Volstagg. Now, you know, I remember talking in the Thor God of Thunder issue where I was saying that we've seen Skinny Volstagg before. This isn't what I was thinking of. Because I hadn't really read this story before. I have a feeling that it's happened a couple of times again. And, of course, you know how it is with these crash diets. The weight always comes back later. But it is kind of a cliche when you look at Thor God of Thunder saying, holy crap, Dan Jurgens did this 10 years before. You know, well, more than 10 years, like 12 years before, 13 years before. So how original is Jason Aaron's idea? There do seem to be a fair number of similarities here between what Gore is up to. Of course, Gore is just slaughtering the gods, whereas the dark gods are just enslaving them. I'm pressed to tell which story is better. I can't really do that. As you guys know, the Jason Aaron story, I think, is just one of these things that's dragged on for far too long. And these people did it over a decade before. It's almost the same thing. Tockets. How did he recognize that Jake Olsen was Thor? I don't believe that he saw Jake Olsen back on Earth, because he was fighting against Thor and Spider-Man. And how did Tockets recognize him? Because really, all that Jake Olsen did was show a little bit of some spunk, and smashed one of these guard dudes with a shovel. I don't think that's necessarily enough to reveal him as the God of Thunder. So there's something here that's a little bit unclear, maybe a little bit sloppy. Is Tockett somehow maybe the smartest of this dark pantheon, even though they all hate him? They just hate him because he's beautiful, I know. But it would be kind of ironic, I mean, because you have everybody in the dark gods showing this big contempt for Tockett, yet he's the one who discovered Thor. But unfortunately, Jurgens doesn't really explain this, because that would be something that they could play with. That's something that they could actually bring as a little piece of character development for Tockets. Not that I'm hoping to see Tockets again, but you know, it would make for a stronger story if you have that little bit of an inner monologue, at least, for Tockets saying, you know, they all think I'm so stupid, but I'm the one who discovered Thor. And, you know, it just seems that it's a bit weak. Art-wise, I think this issue is also a bit weak, and it's kind of verging on one of these early 90s, extreme 90s Rob Liefeld-ish pieces of artwork. I don't like the art in this issue that much. It does seem rather rushed. There is kind of more stylized than other issues have been, less realistic. Bodies tend to be kind of stretching out, and I understand that this part of Johnny Romita Jr.'s style, and generally speaking, I do like this art, but it's not as strong as it could be, and that's always really frustrating, because you know I'm a huge fan of really, really, really good comics art. All right, so that's my thoughts on this issue. Thanks very much for listening. And of course, next issue will be the big conclusion of this story. After that, we're going to move on to something else. Haven't quite decided what we're going to do yet, but I think we're going to be covering the Thor Annual, which is also part of this general run. We kind of skipped over it because I wanted to just continue the story on. But we're going to cover the Thor Annual and the end of the story, and then move on to another piece of Thor's history. Haven't quite decided if we're going to go back to the 60s, whether we're going to jump ahead to, we're going to be doing Thor God of Thunder because we're way behind on that. But anyway, we do have a lot more coming, and we hope you'll stick with us. And of course, thanks very much for listening. We really do appreciate it. And of course, if you feel like you want to contribute to the show, you want to send an email, have suggestions, have complaints, have praise, feel free to send it to us. We have the Facebook group. And of course, you can send email to radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. So from a very nice summer day here in Chicago, Illinois, this is Tom Harris signing off. And we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard.